I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
No. Roger. Is
there anything that Lionel Messi is better than you at?
It's opinion. I respect your opinion. Maybe in your opinion Messi is better than me, but in my mind I'm better than him. I do it again.
Everything is on me, gon' back it up. Matter what, told you I'ma do me. Why you hating on me? It's not adding up. I do roll like a Mack truck. Country heart, I'ma cop a farm and go act up. Like scars, I was cold hearted, now I'm back up. Keep it real, I do this once a month. I don't rap much. I just hit the money and go stack up. Only buy a car, hard put cards, they can tat it up. All that other bull, it don't matter much. You only climb me, I put the ladders up. No fault. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. Add it up, bankroll, euro, peso, add it up. I'm just doing me, everything is on me. Oh, you matter what? Add it up,
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation, the home of Rodri Giggs on football. We're here for another 45 minutes of non-stop football chat as we fly through the stories with brutally honest opinions. No agendas here. But I'm very excited to say that we've got a new sponsor starting next week, but we're going to give them a little shout-out today because they sent us some free stuff. So shout-out to footballcentral.com. They do retro football jerseys, latest football jerseys, football tracksuits, all sorts of stuff. They've sent Rodri a nice Manchester United away kit. What year is that from, mate? Remind me.
1991.
Beautiful.
I would say.
One of my favourites. One of my favourites, mate.
1990, 1991.
Yeah. I remember when that kit came out and it was like, everyone was like, oh my God, what is that? Like, it was like, what's the word, like groundbreaking at the time.
Oh, yeah. Fits like a glove, and I'm never forgetting one.
Beautiful, mate. And then they didn't have a Welsh one, and they didn't have a Cardiff one, so I went for the old classic Diego Maradona.
Oh, my God, that's disrespect to Diego.
1986, mate, and on the back, it's got number 10, Ace Podcast Nation. Beautiful. You know,
have a look, turn around.
I can't, mate, can I? I can't see if you can see it, can I?
Oh, yeah, I can see it. Yeah, yeah, nice one.
Beautiful, mate. I'll put some pictures up and stuff. And so from next week's episode, we'll have a nice little discount code for you people. And it'll be officially started. The Rodri Giggs Show brought to you by footballcentral.com. all your retro football needs granted.
And he's a top shirt, see, isn't it? It's like,
I'm looking, mate.
Yeah, glad that we might have a bit of this, but yeah, see how it goes.
Yeah, I can see some people. I know, like, they got the 1980, I think it's 86, 87 United top. It's like the blue sharp one. That's a nice football kit, that is. But the one I nearly had, they had a 1995 PSG top, which is beautiful. And then I also, that was the one I nearly picked. Or I was going to have the Napoli 86 one, which is also like a Maradona one.
What if they've got the 1990 Roma kit?
I'll tell you right now, mate. But so I had this and, like, you know...
Oh, the Real Madrid, Hugo Sanchez. Okay.
What did you say? Roma? What year?
Is it 1990 or is it 1988?
I can see straight away they've got Roma 95, 88, 2000, 05, 06. They've got 88. So many.
It'll be 88. The old school one.
88. They got it. Beautiful. Roma 88. They got some wicked ones. They got Roma 88, 89. They've got.
Classic.
You know what the best thing is?
When you used to go on all of it, like Greece, or when you go to go in family, always wanted that Roma kit. I thought, that's a mint kit.
But you know what the best thing is as well, right? Is they're supposed to be like £50 the shirts, but they're down to £24.99, and then people can use our discount code and get even more off. Like, you cannot ask for more bargains than that.
£20 for a classic shirt. Come on.
Yeah, 100%, mate. So I had this.
It's like a glove. Packaging, perfect, beautiful.
That's it, mate. And this, I had this top in, like, they did it in Woody's back in the day. It was like, but it wasn't like the football kit. It was like a design.
Oh, but the final Maradona kit, the one we wore in the final, blue one.
That would be a good one. They got, I'm just looking at their tracksuits, mate, as well. They got some wicked tracksuits on there. Like, they've got a bit of something for everyone. And they've also got, like, the latest kits as well. So if that's what floats your boat.
Do they have a child as well, all ages?
I think so, yeah. Let me look. I don't know if they do the retro ones in all the way down to kids, but looking at it, it looks like they do. So look. So they got the United current away kit, the green one. £25, mate.
Bargain.
See what sizes they do. Small to fat, and then I can't see any kids ones, but it does say there's also a tab on there to
see, you've got the football league badge on. Look,
proper mate, and they've also got a separate tab next to where it says track your order. They've got a separate tab where you can request a specific kit from a specific year, and they'll go find it for you, and get it. And what else have they got?
Oh, there you go. It says it on it. 1992 League Cup final. Should know that. I can play in it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And I was actually there.
I'm sure your brother will come up again later, mate, because we're doing top 10 wingers in Premier League.
You might. You never know.
Well, according to the Premier League, he's not Hall of Fame worthy. So, you know, there's that. Maybe. maybe he doesn't make our top 10s, you know?
No one's interested in that American bullshit. It's a fraud anyway. You've got your most decorated player not even on there. It's a joke.
Yeah,
American bollocks.
Embarrassing. Right, mate, I will give you the choice tonight. So we're going to talk FA Cup semi-final previews. We're going to talk Arsenal and Man City crashing out of the Champions League. So, the double treble's off. Arsenal are clinging on to the title. It's all gone wrong. Or we can do the FA Cup first. What do you want to do first, mate?
Top Premier League players not wanting to take penalties, and I'm tired for 5 minutes ago.
Mate, that was right. I tell you what, I know.
Let's touch on that as well.
Let's start there. We'll start with Man City, right? I got to say, I thought Man City played all right. I thought Real Madrid's defence was another level, absolutely phenomenal. And I know, like, people will want to talk, you know, the Madrid goal, the touch from Jude Bellingham to pluck it out the sky and take it away from the defender to set the goal up was exquisite. And there's a reason why he's wearing Zidane's number and doing things that have never been done before. But I just thought defensively, Madrid were just on just another level, and a level which I haven't seen a Madrid side at in recent years. And City kept coming, but they, you know, they did have chances. But I didn't think, for instance, they didn't tear or they didn't open up Madrid like, say, Liverpool did to United, where it's like 5-on-2 and the keeper, you know, it's a one-on-one with a keeper and he's getting you out of it. Like, I thought Madrid kept them at arm's length for the majority of the game in terms of clear-cut chances. They did have chances, of course, but you'd expect with the players they got. Were you surprised the City? Because City average, I think, like, since Christmas, average like 3 or 4 goals a game. So 1-1, pretty good result. What do you make of it?
Well, they scored 3 at the Bernabeu.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what did you make of the City, the way they set up, the performance? You mentioned, like, players not stepping up to take penalties. I know their keeper is very good at penalties, and I know he does take penalties. But
well, looking at last night, what Roy Keane's saying is looking more and more correct the minute, because Haaland's touch last night, it was not good. So you can understand why he said that, but his touch was terrible. Him coming off tired in a I've come to think about it, like a Ballon d'Or future. Possibly Ballon d'Or winner.
Yeah,
he's considered. Never think of Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, Mbappe. Any of these players wanting to come off in a quarter final?
Is that he asked to come off, did he? Or he
well, I don't know. But why has he even been taken off?
Yeah. I mean, to me, like he is arguably the best centre forward. He's certainly, I would say, the best number 9 in the world on stats.
I would debate that
on stats he is, isn't he?
I would have Harry Kane over him at the minute.
Okay.
A better footballer and a better goal scorer.
I agree with you, he's a better footballer, but statistically Haaland is up there and he's like he's the best.
I understand that. Put Harry Kane in Manchester City side, he'll have the same stats, if not more.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is if you're going into a quarter final, you're playing arguably the next team in terms of the best teams in Europe is probably City, Madrid are up there, and they're like the next sort of team.
Yeah.
I cannot fathom, like you just said, why they're taking Haaland off. Reese has just said in the chat that Pep said afterwards that Haaland and De Bruyne both asked to be subbed off. And I just, could you imagine, right, that Liverpool 1980s team, that United 1990s team, that Arsenal team with Wenger, which competed with United,
Mourinho,
Chelsea. Could you imagine, like, the biggest characters, players in those teams? Like, those two are everything which Man City depend on. How many times have we seen De Bruyne turn up in the big games and create incredible chances or, like, change a game or run a game? And, like, that to me is... If I was a City fan, I'd be concerned by just the fact they've asked to come off. Now, they could have asked to come off because they were injured and they didn't feel that they could contribute. But it's the biggest game of the season. If you get past Madrid, you're probably going to win it, I would say. I just cannot fathom those two players asking to come off. You really can't. I think it's out.
Yeah, no, I don't, and this is something that will stick with them.
Yeah, of course it will.
Especially De Bruyne. Five minutes left. You're a penalty taker. What are you doing? Stick it out. Just go and sit in the hole and let Rodri flip in, do your graph, but stay on.
Yeah, just go and sit in CDM and just sit there and knock it about, spray it about a bit.
Anxiety, you know, it comes to us, great people as well. Obviously,
on anxiety and sort of performance at the vital time, what was Bernardo Silva's penalty?
Well, I don't think their own fans helped him by keeping the ball.
No, they didn't.
And I've been waiting for 40 seconds, which is a long time. You could have chosen. to change his mind in that time, which looked like he did because he just dollied it to him.
He was just like, he just chipped it to the keeper, like he was giving it back to him.
Yeah, well, like, shocker.
That's pressure, that is, mate. I know people will say, well, if the keeper dives, it looks like a great penalty.
Too much time to think about it, mate. Think about it. Pick your spot. That's it. Don't deviate from that. As soon as you deviate from that, then forget it.
Yeah, we talked about it the other day, didn't we? When you're walking up to take your penalty in a shootout, you make your choice, you stick to it, you don't change your mind, and you just do it.
Yeah.
When you've got to wait like that, and it's your own fans, like, I'll never understand why they kept the ball, mate. But, like, penalties aside, okay, because I thought a couple of the Madrid penalties were very good. But I thought, was it the last one? Rudiger, wasn't it, who scored the winner? Like, that was, what a penalty that is. I tell you who else took a good penalty, mind, was Bellingham's was good. But for Phil Foden's penalty was quality, mate, as well.
Yeah.
And fair play to Foden, mate, right? This season.
No, you don't win it 14 times by,
Yeah, of course.
They know that it's just...
They turn up when it matters, mate, don't they?
It's uncanny, yeah. And these players, you know, even Modric got a penalty, but, you know, his teammates got him through it.
But you look at Modric, mate, and you look at all those players around him, apart from Carvajal, Rudiger, the rest of them are so young. Like Camavinga, obviously Cruz is experienced, but you've got Camavinga, Valverde,
Ben. The young kid coming in who's 17 next year.
Yeah. It's frightening, mate, the players they got. And I just, but what was it? I found really fascinating, mate, I said it just now, is how well they defended. Because I really rate Camavinga. I think he's one of the, I think he is probably one of the best, if not the best, young defensive midfielder in the world. I think Rodri is probably just above him at the moment. But I think as he gets a bit older, he'll probably take over that. I think he's quality. But you had that back four, and then Camavinga and Kroos sat in front of him. And City found it difficult to create those clear-cut chances. But, you know, the one player, mate, who I thought for City stood up to be counted, and I've seen him, and it's been the biggest improvement in him, and he's already good, that I've seen this year is Phil Foden, is that in the big games, he has stood up to be counted this year for him. Like, he was the only one, I would say, out with the front sort of lot of City, who I thought, like, looked like he was doing everything he physically could. He was popping up all over the place. He wanted the ball, creating, looking for stuff. I thought Grealish was very greedy. A couple of times he should have passed it and he shot. And this, that decision-making in the big moments. And, like, I still can't get over De Bruyne and Haaland, mate. Two penalty takers, gone, off the pitch, because they asked to. So you touched on it a little bit, mate. I saw a lot of it on social media yesterday, and I've seen it a bit recently. If Haaland doesn't score goals, which, all right, he does most of the time, does he offer very little elsewhere? Or do you think he is, like, I don't think he's not a donkey, is he?
No, he's not a donkey. No, he's far from a donkey. He just needs to work on his touch and his back to goal playing. No, his movement's spot on, his strength and his pace. Just needs to work on it, mate. He's still young, remember? He's been fast-tracked. And when his balls are zipping into him, you know, he's a big old unit. But we've seen big old units have good touches before. He's just got to work on it. I mean, work on it. You know, we've seen players before that weren't the best, but then they work on it. They're totally different players. You know, you can drop in the hole and take it on the half turn, or, you know, pop it off, and but it's just bouncing off of him, isn't it? It's like a set of railings, his legs just bang, bang, bang. You know where it's going to go. So, yeah, he can work on it, but, you know, he's still a top striker, but it does need to work on it. You've seen that, yes, last night, the first 25-30 minutes, it was just bouncing off him, and then, when they sit here bouncing, and it comes to him, they'll eventually just miss him out and just leave him out and just, yes, I don't know. He's got to work on it.
Yeah, it's a weird one, mate, because I think people forget he's only 23. Like, he's so young, but it's because he's so big, so he looks a lot older.
Big old unit, but, you know,
and because he's he's been on the scene so long already, haven't he? Like, he was on, you know, 17, he was scoring goals. But in that team, in a Pep team, they expect you to be able to take that ball at pace, don't they? Like, they're shifting it into you with the idea that you can pop it back or you can hold it and turn. And
like a little carousel, bosh, boom, 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 boom. Try to find out an opening and then bang the other side, grab it, tip it across, someone's there for tapping. That's what Barcelona were like as well. But, you know, they have the extra midfielder, I mean, the extra defender popping in. Akanji played very well, always popping up everywhere, did the, like, John Stones role.
Very, very good.
It's not like having all this possession, but, you know, you've got to
use it. Like,
you've got to use it, because Real Madrid were very solid. Plus, you know, they've got quality as well. If it weren't for Kyle Walker, it could have been 2 or 3, possibly 4.
So let me, just the last question on City. Does Julian Alvarez offer more in terms of all-round play than Haaland does?
No. Okay. No.
But yeah, you mentioned, I thought Kyle Walker was really good. He saved them a couple of times. I thought Akanji was probably Man City's best player alongside Foden. Thought he was very good. But ultimately, mate, it wasn't to be. And look, penalties is a bit of a lottery, but I thought it is a lottery. However, when I see those two players asking to be coming off and I see a keeper taking the third penalty or something, I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Now, I know people will say, you know, Edison is very good at taking penalties. And I think they've said before, if it wasn't for the fact that it almost seems like you're taking a piss, he'd probably be their penalty taker. He's that good. But you can't tell me that there's not other players there who should be stepping up to take penalties.
It's not all about the quality. It's all about who wants it. It's battle. You know, if he's like confident and up there, and some of them are like, you're not going to go with him. That shows you some of their mentality. Who didn't take one? John Stones, Rodri, who else? Kanji,
Ruben Diaz,
Doku, Ruben Diaz,
Kyle Walker. Should he be taking one as the captain?
Kyle Walker. So yeah, you know, but.
Grealish didn't.
I think Grealish was already off, wasn't he?
He went off for Doku, didn't he? Yeah. Kovacic took one, didn't he? Did Alvarez take one?
Because he took the first one.
If I was looking at it, who was on, I'd have expected Kyle Walker as the captain to take one. I'm expecting Rodri to take one. Bernardo Silva.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Foden.
You know, these are no scrub players, but, you know, keepers going, but, you know, he's obviously dooming training, and he must be very good. So to go in front of some of them players, you know, he wasn't second or third, he was fifth, he was last on the list. So
Reece says, do you think Pep will ask for another 250 million to build an entire new team again?
I don't think he needs to, does he? I think it looks like De Bruyne is, you know, on the decline. I'm not going to say he's finished, but he's on the decline. He's not, you know, the player of 2 or 3 years ago.
He's certainly in the latter stages of his career.
But also,
I don't think Kovacic is anywhere near as good.
I do like him,
but
then you've got the emerge of Phil Foden, who probably he'll be very good in there as a number 10. That's where he'll play.
Yeah, so, I think that will suit him, won't it? How old is De Bruyne? Yeah.
32.
So, yeah, he's in the back end of his career. And look, what a player. But like, we're not saying he's bad. We're just disappointed to see players of that stature to be asking to be taken off. You're a bit like, come on, you've got to stand up there. Let's talk about the other quarterfinal, which took place involving an English team. What did you make of Arsenal's performance? Because by all accounts, I was flicking a bit, but what I saw, Bayern Munich were very, very, very comfortable.
Yeah, it's not easy in Europe, you know, and they've had a shaky week or so at Arsenal. You expect to bounce back in one of these games, and you've not seen it. So we thought that they'd progress from last year, but it looks like it's, you know, Groundhog Day, because it looks like it's happening again. So they're on a decline, and the wrong time to decline. You know, these are championship rounds, and you can't really take too many blows at this time of the season. You're not going to win the leagues, especially with the quality of teams you're playing against. You know, even Liverpool dropped points, but they look strong again tonight. They scored in the first 5 minutes, and you've gone obviously Manchester City, who are top, who will probably come win out now, or if not, win and draw, but win the league.
Yeah,
because they've got the nose in front, and I don't see the other two winning out either. So now City have got the nose in front. I don't see them relinquishing that at all. So
the really interesting thing with Arsenal is last year they obviously did fall apart at the end of the league season. But then about a month ago, everyone was telling me like all these young players, they've learned, they've been through it, it's going to help them. And now it does suddenly feel like the wheels are coming off again. And do you think there's more pressure on them now because it happened last year?
Absolutely.
If the wheels come off again now, it's almost like...
Absolutely. But then it adds pressure. You know, you can always fall back to, well, we need a striker. If we had a striker, we would have won that league.
But that's,
so,
that's,
and then they'll get him a striker. And then if they don't win the league, then he's, you know, you'd he's think done, he's... Yeah. Because if they had an Ivan Toney or... someone instead of a guy Havertz who's fucking rubbish. They might have won the league because I'm not having it. That Havertz, yeah, he scored a few goals, blah blah blah. 60, whatever million, forget it. Pay an extra 20, 25 million, and you're getting Toney, or you're getting a striker that'll win you the league. He won't win you the league. Fuck what Lego Man says.
But I also think you won't win a league buying City's cast-offs. So you've got Zinchenko there.
No, but no, I disagree with that because they've already done it. They've been there, they've done it. So then when they first arrived, you could see how Arsenal, how good they were. Remember when they first arrived?
Yeah, no, I accept they're good. No, I just think
what they've done, they've been brought down to Arsenal's...
Yeah, they've been dragged down a little bit.
Dragged down to Arsenal's what? Jesus has been out for a bit, and Shevchenko, he's not great. He takes too many chances. He thinks he's still playing for City, and he's not. But you know, you'd thought they looked like they'd learned from last year, but fortunately for the rest of us, they haven't, because that Arsenal fan base would be unbearable.
Oh yes, it is indeed.
So another potless season again for the Arsenal.
one of the interesting things from a tactical point of view in that game was that the Bayern manager really shored up the left-hand side. So Alphonso Davies was out and he played Mazaroy, Lehmer and Guerrero on the left. And between the three of them, they completely shut down Saka. And he may as well have not played. Like he was, didn't have a touch. Like he just, and I think questions have got to be asked of Saka for me, because I think recently he's been quite poor. And will they really need him to be in the form he was at the start of the season? But it's my argument or my point sometimes is at the start of the season, it's easy to be quality because there's no pressure. You're just playing games. You're not really looking at the league table and things like this. When it matters, that's when you really see the difference between a decent player, a good player, and a top player. And for me, at the moment, Saka's not doing it. Like, his team rely on him heavily, and I don't think he's putting in the same performances as someone like a Declan Rice, for instance.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if he's in our top 10 wingers.
Well,
The great Bukayo Saka. See if he's in our great top Premier League wingers.
Just checking, mate. Will Kai Havertz be in your top 10 wingers?
Who?
Kai Havertz. Plays off the right sometimes, doesn't he?
what a waste of money. Come on. Of all the things, you don't need that. And yeah, you need
not
a strike.
Not for that amount of money.
That's the thing. That's the kind of thing that'll get you sacked, though. Because you wanted this geezer. Now, where's the goals coming from? He just thought he was going to be like a Giroud, like brings other people into play and gets other people scoring. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair point. In terms of the other two quarterfinals on Tuesday, Barca took a whooping at home to PSG.
Yeah, they would have won that game. I think Milan got sent off. I was watching that game.
Well, I didn't see the sending off. What was it? A deserved sending off? Was it controversial? Was it?
He was coming in from the left across, and he was just going into the box, and he's come across him and just swiped him. So,
And then they've just used their pace, I'm assuming, by looking at the scorers and Mbappe.
Wouldn't have been disappointing if I got a penalty and a yellow card. Wouldn't be the last thing, but you know, I'm sure they were overjoyed by a penalty and the red card, so there's a bit of double jeopardy there. So
and that what is interesting with the PSG is this is where they go out, isn't it? The quarterfinals is where they normally fall to pieces in the knockout rounds and they go out. And they've got a different strategy this year. I think if you remember at the start of the season, I pointed out how many like incredible young players they've got, players who are like early 20s who have got a potential to be top class. And I think they're starting to cook a bit. And I'd be interested because you've got in amongst that, then you've got the experience of Donnarumma in goal. You know, you've got Mbappe, he's a very experienced player. Hernandez at the back, Hakimi, and then you've got like this like nucleus, and on the bench they've got the players they were able to bring on, I think really helps them. Like that Ugarte who came on with about 20 minutes to go is a really good solid defensive midfielder. Asensio, you know, it wasn't long ago he was at Madrid and everyone was saying he was the, you know, the next big thing over there. Muani got some real quality players, and they got some quality which didn't even come on, like Danilo and people like this. Be interested, mate, because what is it? Is it Madrid, Bayern in the semi, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Dortmund versus PSG. I fancy PSG to get to the final, mate, I've got to say. Dortmund is one of those teams, though, isn't it?
It's 50-50 for me, mate. It's 50-50, that one.
Yeah, and I mean, Atletico Madrid is no...
And even Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, that's, you know, that's 50-50 as well.
Yeah.
We've got another European giant who sometimes knows how to win games. You know, they've got a top striker in Harry Kane. So, you know,
could be Harry Kane's first ever trophy.
Yeah, Champions League, yeah.
Imagine though, mate, right, just to picture this for a minute. Say Bayern get through to the final, past Real Madrid, and he must be thinking, right, finally, I'm going to get this trophy. I've missed out on the league to Leverkusen. They've never won it before, but they've won it the first
time. They get Dortmund.
And he'll lose to Dortmund in the final. He'll just be like, oh, I'm just never going to win a trophy ever. And look, I laugh at it. I in some ways, I feel sorry for him, but I mean, at the end of the day. Do you know an interesting Marcel Sabitzer, man of the match, mate? United could have had him. Had him on loan last year, and they've got. I think Kobe Maynard's better, isn't he, in terms of long term and stuff like that. But it was.
He got Mason Mount instead,
who didn't play. Although he has looked all right since he's come back. But then equally, I think the point being, what I was going to say is, like, sometimes. Players are just a better fit in certain teams or with certain managers, you know, certain clubs, whatever it may be. Sometimes it just doesn't work. It doesn't always mean that the player's not a good player. It just means that Reece just corrected me. Harry Kane won the Audi Cup in pre-season. So, there we go.
And you get an Audi with that? You get man of the match? Free Audi?
Should do, shouldn't it? Surely.
Voice pong, Deutsch Pink, what is it?
Wishbone Technic or something like that, isn't it? But I mean, you look at that Dortmund side, they got a double pivot of Sabitzer and Emre Can. Like, that's a solid, solid midfield. And then they've got Sancho and Adeyemi and Brandt. You know, they got a good team, Dortmund have, I think. They haven't got I'd look at it and I don't think they've got a real superstar.
Aston Villa won on penalties.
Did they really?
I heard on the radio it was 2-0 down, but they just must have got one back and they won on penalties. Sorry, go on, mate.
No, I was just going to say Dortmund haven't got that superstar, sort of a Haaland or whoever. They've got a lot of good players, technical good players, team players. And I think sometimes that can be a good recipe. But West Ham are beating Leverkusen, although they're down on aggregate.
It's half time, though, isn't it? It's only half time.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting.
Yeah, watch the finish here.
Yeah, it's a few interesting. Villa went through. Well. So moving to the domestic side of things, we've got two FA Cup semi-finals this week, mate. Let's start with Man City and Chelsea. Will there be a bit of a hangover for City? Because they did look devastated going out last night.
Leggy as well. It was a tough 2 hours running about.
Yeah, it was intense. A hard 120 minutes, wasn't it?
Intense. Who did they play, Saturday or Sunday?
Chelsea Saturday, United and Coventry Sunday. So just looking at that, Chelsea.
So we played Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, recovery Thursday. What, light training session Friday. Yeah, it's not a lot of time, That was intense, hour and 20 minutes. Yeah, and then it's not so bad if you win, but you get beat. Yeah, and then they play at 5:15, so then they've got to travel all the way down to London as well, so they'll do that tomorrow. Chelsea. So they won't even train tomorrow. They may do a light bit work and then travel down. Yeah, but they may even travel down on the Saturday, because it's a late kickoff. But then do you really want to travel down the day?
I would have thought they'd have to go down tomorrow because it's the FA Cup. They have a lot of media to do. They have to do the media on Friday lunchtime. They have to do media Saturday morning. I'd be very surprised if they travel down there Saturday. I got to be honest. I think they got to go
media.
Down there.
Media. They're preparing for a game. They'll be doing Monday.
Yeah, but they will. Tomorrow.
The manager and the captain will be doing it. That'll be it.
Yeah. No, but I mean, tomorrow they will, won't they? They'll have a press conference on Friday and the rest
not
of
the players. Week. Just the manager and the captain.
Yeah, I suppose.
They'll be preparing for a game. You don't want to be fucking about waiting for
media. So I wanted to go back just while we're on the FA Cup before we look at the games. Reece brought up a point earlier. He said, can we talk about the disgraceful decision to scrap FA Cup replays because the big teams don't think it's fair? Those games bankroll lower league teams. If you can't beat a lower league team, tough. So they've been scrapped from after the first round. So I slightly disagree with Reece in that the replays, I don't... if you get an FA Cup draw, a non-league team gets a United or a Liverpool at home, that's where they make the money. They don't necessarily make a great deal. All right, the TV, if it's on TV, they'll get some money for the replay. But it's the home fixture that you get the money from, isn't it? Effectively.
Yeah.
And I don't think scrapping the replays necessarily takes that away. But he loves it, doesn't he? Just wants to be a star. What do you think about it? I've enjoyed
it. But then you've got a chance to win on the day and get through to the next round and get another payday. So, it doesn't sit right with me, to be honest. Fucking about with FA Cup. It's a very historic competition. Just leave it alone. Yeah, obviously.
But then I have enjoyed it.
Big games. Some of the players now are tired. Yeah. They've got to run extra minutes and it's tiring training for an hour and a half a day, then resting for another 20, 2.5 hours for the rest of the day. Yeah, it's tough.
So Reece just said, so that kind of changes my opinion a little bit on what I just said. He said, first game, the away team gets 30% of the ticket revenue, and then the replay, the away team gets 40 to 50% of the ticket revenue, which obviously is a big chunk for those smaller clubs. So I didn't realise that. So I would think, yeah. And then at the end of the day, it's getting rid of the replays is all about the big teams. And it's nothing to do with the lower league teams. It's nothing to do with TV. It's because the big teams play so many games. But I agree with you. Like, it's a historic competition. They should just leave it alone. I have enjoyed these one-off games, though, like where teams know. Like,
well, you know, it's going to be exciting. You know there's going to be a winner, don't you? So if you've got penalties, you've got penalties. You don't have to wait for the replay for that. You'll just see it straight away. So,
supposedly
more money's been pumped into grassroots football. So, we'll even see it.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Right, with the so go back to the FA Cup semi-finals, mate. Chelsea have got a relatively good recent record against Man City. Cole Palmer's on fire in with a shout of the Golden Boot, which is quite mad. Obviously, we'll have something. We'll probably want to make a point to Man City. You got rid of him. Chelsea been in pretty decent form. Do you see City slipping up again this week, or do you think they'll, you know, come with a purpose and do the business?
I really think it's 50-50. Because Wembley's a big old pitch and Chelsea got a good record, they won't be afraid, they'll respect them, honestly. And City, I feel that's it's not a long time that, you know. Wednesday night, they've been buzzing, adrenaline's kicking, not got to sleep. And like I say, today they're a little warm down, and Friday they're going to have to travel down. Yeah, so...
tricky one, isn't it?
Like, City, obviously City's slight favourites, but you know, wouldn't surprise me at all if Chelsea get a result. If it goes to extra time,
oof.
Then will we see that? Will Chelsea have learned from the Liverpool when they should have gone out there? Will we see the same Chelsea there if it goes to that? Because if it goes to that, you just got to go for it because these people they're running on empty. They're just played 120 minutes 48 hours ago.
But will we also see De Bruyne and Haaland asking to come off?
Will we even see on the pitch? He might be on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, if he's... I don't know what the situation was, you know, where they were injured and stuff, but, like, I suppose there's at least a chance he's a bit pissed off with that and they don't start. There's also that
side. He didn't hesitate to throw one of the bus, did he say it? Wasn't my decision, he wants to come on.
Yeah. And I mean,
let's be honest.
No, and let's be honest. Julian Alvarez is an exceptional player. He can shift Foden inside and put, you know, play Doku and Grealish on the wings. He's got many an option. He's not going to be resorting to playing kids, is he? Let's be honest. Have you been impressed with how Cole Palmer has taken to life at Chelsea? Were you expecting him to have such a big season?
Not expecting him to have such a big season. You know, look at stats in the week. He's got better stats than Drogba over a 6-7 game period, something like 12 or 13 goals. So, no, obviously, but, you know, it's, sometimes you just go somewhere and it clicks and you just, you know, you get freedom, you get a bit of chance, you get a chance. Suddenly, you're not one of the group, you're top man, you're the penalty taker. The game winner, you know, give you a little bit of confidence. You know, he's got good technique, he's got a good left foot, he knows where the goal is, can play, strength. So, yeah, he's got good temperament. He's a very good player, but I don't see him. This is my opinion, I don't see him staying at Chelsea.
Okay, where do you see him going? Abroad or?
He's a Manchester lad, isn't he?
I'm not sure, mate. Yeah, he must have been. He's come through the academy, didn't he? And then
it's from Wivenshaw.
But is he a United fan?
Yeah.
Interesting. interesting, that is, because Chelsea are not afraid to sell to United. They've done it before. Both clubs have sold players in the past to each other.
I don't see it in the immediate future, but
And I mean, it depends what Chelsea are doing. If they're still languishing in like 12th next year and United are flying or whoever's flying, you might think, well, do you know what? I don't want to be 12th in the Premier League every season, because they've had two seasons of it now. So they've got to kick on next year. They've got a very, very good young squad, man, Chelsea have. And I think that's where, if it was me, that's where I would try and probably get at City tomorrow, is try and keep it quite high tempo, because Chelsea haven't played this week. They've got a young, fit squad. They've got a lot of pacey players. Like you said, City are tired. They haven't had much time to recover, travelling. It seems like maybe an opportunity to get at them that way. I'm going to go with a Chelsea win, mate. I am, when we do our predictions. But
I've not done my predictions for about 2 weeks, you know. Since I've been away, I've not done them.
Oh, mate, I didn't even look at them last week. Will didn't send it to me tonight because he's out, the naughty boy.
Yeah, I haven't done it, but, you know, I'm 50-60 points clear.
Yeah, the ship has sailed this year. I've got to say, mate, if United play like they have done in a couple of games recently, you know, Bournemouth and what was the other one? Brentford, was it? Coventry will be looking at that and they'll be thinking, God, if they turn up like that, we'll have a go. Not saying they'll win, but they will have a go. Coventry will try and play football on that big pitch. And if United are not at it, and some of those players have got that attitude that they sometimes have, oof, won't be an easy game if they turn up like... So it's like there's like that Jekyll and Hyde thing, isn't it? If they turn up like they did against Liverpool in the FA Cup, then I think United win comfortably. If they turn up like they did against Bournemouth the other day, then it could get a bit hairy throughout the game. So I'm kind of interested by it. Coventry got a very informed striker. And you know what it's like, mate? These strikers, when they're scoring, everything they touch seems to go in. I don't know. Do you see any way Coventry can get a United? Like, what if you were the manager of Coventry? I don't expect you to know all the players and stuff like that. But just tactically, how would you get at United? Or how would you try to set up to get at them?
Just go for it. Just go for it. They're not the greatest Man United side. Just be nice and tight. Don't overcommit. But just go for it. No, they beat Wolves last game. Wolves won it.
They lost to Birmingham last week, 3-0.
Oh, I mean, in the last round of the Cup.
Yeah, they beat Wolves, yeah.
Yeah, so they beat a Premier League side. Wolves should have turned United over at Old Trafford first game of the season. So why not? Just go for it. It's on a neutral ground. You know, it's an anniversary of like 30 years ago, whenever they were, is it 30, was it 40 years ago, 30 years ago? They've never lost a semi-final. Bearing in mind, they've only been in one. So, so just go for it. Just go for it.
Yeah, anyway, especially when you've got a striker who's in form, just try and create chances for him and see what happens. You know that United have literally got four defenders. They've got no defensive substitutes. It's going to be the young lads. It's going to be Maguire. And Dalot and Wan-Bissaka, they haven't got anyone else. So
just,
you know,
the way they've been playing, just go for it.
100%, mate.
It's obviously on their minds now because they got beat off Birmingham 3-1.
Birmingham, they lost 3-0 last week.
3-0,
They rotated a couple of players and this, that, and the other. And it's a day out for the fans. I've been there with Cardiff. It's wicked because you, at the start of the season, as a Coventry fan or a Cardiff fan, you ain't imagining being in the FA Cup semi-final come April. So, like, from a fan's point of view, you just go and have a cracking day. But what you don't want to see is Coventry just kind of sit in and hope for the best. Because I think they're, one, I think they're better than that. And two, I think United concede a lot of shots. So try and, you know, be solid, but also try and create. Because the United concede chances. So if Coventry can take a chance or two, it puts pressure on that United side. From a United point of view, mate, what would you change up? Would you change anything? Who are you bringing in? Who are you bringing out? Like, how would you shake it, things up to make sure that they do the job and they have the right intensity and stuff like that? The back four is what the back four is, because they've only got four defenders. But in terms of the midfield, the attack, who's getting dropped?
Well, I don't know, mate. It's they've just got to play well. I don't care who plays. They've just got to play well. If they play well, they'll win. So it's the FA Cup finals at stake here. If they go out of this to a championship side, then...
I think if they lose, the 10 hours will be gone, money.
Well, we've got to do this winger stuff and predictions, darling, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do the winger stuff. We'll fly through the wingers, mate. Right, top 10 wingers in Premier League history. I'll tell you what we'll do, mate, because I think last week we didn't do our predictions. So what we'll do is let's do our predictions first, because they only take a couple of minutes, and then we'll finish up. So, guys in the chat, there's a good couple of hundred people watching. So we're going top 10 wingers of Premier League history. So get your suggestions in, get your top 10s in, and see if they match up with mine and Rodri. Remember, it's subjective, so it is what it is. And I'll bring up my Super 6 to get the predictions going. Super 6. Right. Let's have a go. Right. Got my flipping VPN on. Jesus Christ, man. Be interested in this top 10 wingers, though, mate, because I think it's a position that is... Initially, I'd said left wingers, but then I said, I think most wingers have played like both sides, haven't they? So I think you've got to just do it as a general thing, best wingers. But we'll be interested. Right, Super 6 predictions. Right, I've done mine. Right, first up, Luton versus Brentford, mate. Big game. Big game for Luton. I've gone 2-1 Luton, I have, because they need that. They need those points. That's the sort of game they've got to get after at home. So I've gone 2-1 Luton. Which, what have you got, mate? You got Luton?
Who have you got there? Who have you got?
I've gone 2-1 Luton against Luton Brentford.
2-1 Luton. Brentford.
And next up, we got the FA Cup semi-final between Manchester City and Chelsea. So I've gone 3-2 City, but I'm actually going to change that because I fancy Chelsea. So I'm going to go 3-2 Chelsea.
I'm going to go 2-2. It's going to be extra time again.
Yeah. Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Arsenal.
Say that again.
Wolves versus Arsenal.
2-1 Arsenal.
I've gone 3-1 Arsenal. Everton versus Forest.
1-0 Everton.
2-2. And then the other FA Cup semi-final between Coventry and Manchester United.
3-1 United.
So I had 3-1 United as well. I'm going to go 2-1 United because... think it'll be a bit closer.
No, 3-1 as well.
Fulham versus Liverpool is the final game. 2-1 had a bit of a stutter in the league on
2-1 Liverpool.
I've gone 2-2. I've been quite impressed with Fulham this year. Right, we're gonna fly through this top 10 now. Top 10 wingers in Premier League history. Where to begin? Who's your number 10, mate? I think I might surprise a few with my number 10, you know?
Robert Pires.
Ooh, similar to mine, but not quite. I've gone with Freddie Ljungberg.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. No.
That's a solid start. Who's your number 9, mate?
David Ginola.
There we go. Now we're cooking. That's who I've got as well. David Ginola. Number 8, mate. Who's your number 8 in the list? Top 10 wingers in Premier League history.
Sadio Mane.
Nah, see. He was in there for me. I just don't quite think he's there. Like I do, I really rate him. I really do. But I've gone with Robert Pires as my number eight. Number seven for you, mate.
David Beckham.
David Beckham, eh? So I have gone with. I couldn't separate these two between six and five, but my number six, I've gone with Gareth Bale marginally. Marginally. Very, very marginally is that.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, I've got Eden Hazard.
And number five.
Yeah.
So I've got Beckham at five. And then the four is where 4-3-2-1 is where it gets interested. Ooh, you got a four, mate.
Gareth Bale.
So I've got Robert Pires. Eden Hazard, sorry. Into the top three, mate. Now this'll be interesting. Number three. So you got the three best wingers in Premier League history, in our opinion, in what order? So you've got, who's your number three, mate?
So I've got three. I've got Akid, Cristiano Ronaldo and Mohamed Salah.
Yeah, I've got the same three. So I think that was probably expected.
So Salah three, Ronaldo two, Akid one.
I got Salah three, Ronaldo two, Giggs one.
So you've got the same as me.
Yeah, but I think we're like from a similar era as well, and we so like I look at your brother, the footballer. I grew up on that. Like I was like, he was Welsh, he's from Cardiff, played on the left.
It's the longevity.
That's what I was gonna say. But then that's
longevity for me. Longevity. You know, people always forget how much of a superstar he was at 17 and then still be playing at 40, still winning leagues. So even though he didn't play winger a lot at last.
Yeah, no, he changed position.
Yeah, and Ronaldo, you know, he could have easily been number one.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously one of the best players in the world.
I think the main reason...
Most of his work was done with Real Madrid, even though he did very well for us.
Yeah,
Mohamed Salah.
Greatest in the modern era, I think he is.
Yeah, it would be totally different if he was playing the 4-4-2, and the stats would be totally different if it was the other way around and Rams playing 4-3-3. It would be almost triple his stats, in my opinion.
But you know what else as well, mate? Is I will add that Eden Hazard, if he had a different mentality and attitude,
as pure footballers, Eden Hazard, Cristiano Ronaldo, better.
Hazard better. Just didn't have the mentality.
Hazard, but Hazard was a freak. But so was we are talking about freaks now at the top of the game. So
yes, and there's some incredible wingers over the Premier League.
Good thing about football, it's subjective. Everyone's got an opinion. But that's it.
There's some cracking wingers.
Gareth Bale didn't really do much in the Premier League.
I don't know, mate. There was a couple of seasons.
I mean, as in medals and in winning things. That's how I was brought up. That's how we were brought up, by winning things. That's you win things. As soon as you win it, Next day, you're on to the next thing. I want to win that. Forget about that. Win, win, win. That's all that mattered. That's my mindset. So, and you didn't win anything.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Like, and I think like there's a few like who probably just miss out on that top 10. Like, yeah, I think Riyad Mahrez, I think, is a really, really good wide player. Sterling, even though I don't think actually Sterling is as good as some people think, I think he's, with his medals and his consistency.
But Kyle Saka.
Even, but then, if you wanted to go back years, mate, Lee Sharp's probably, I know you're a big fan.
Lee Sharp, Chris Waddle.
Stuart Ripley, a very underrated winger.
Stuart Ripley. I'm sure there's some others as well that,
back in the day, mate, there were some top class wingers. Like
Mark Overmars.
Overmars, we forgot him, yeah.
Yeah, so he would have definitely been in my top 10 because he would put people on their back.
Yeah, I agree. That was one that we missed out there. But that's where, because we do it on the fly.
He would probably have played for me, Sadio Mane.
Yeah. Yeah, I could go with that, mate. I had Lundberg, didn't I? And I think I'd probably go with Lundberg. Yeah, I'd go with Overmars over Lundberg. So, Kanchelskis, Nobby Solano. I'm just picking some players now off the top of my head. Sami Nasri, Sanchez played off the right. Who else is there? I'm trying to think of ones like Harry Kewell.
Robin.
Yeah, Damien Duff, mate. That's
Damien Duff.
I think he's not far off the top 10, I got to be said.
12.
Yeah, something like that. Paul Merson, I think he was more of a 10.
Paul Merson was a 10.
Steve McManaman
was very
Robin,
good.
Robin, we didn't even mention Robin.
Robin, yeah.
John Barnes back in the day.
Oh, yeah, but he wasn't like Premier League, was he? He was just at the tail end. When I was growing up, he was my
division.
Even Luther Blissett, Watford, and then obviously when he went to Liverpool, yeah, John Barnes was my player growing up.
I think to finish off, mate, seeing as we both agreed on our number one this week, 13 Premier League titles, 632 Premier League appearances, 109 Premier League goals. I think that says it all. As always, mate, I appreciate your time, your candor. And let's be honest as well, just lastly on him, is you don't always associate those flair players and those wingers with consistency. I don't think he put in many stinkers over those 630-odd appearances.
I'm sure
he did put a few in, but I just mean like...
But not a lot,
Generally speaking, he was very consistent, and we're in the big games. He had some big moments.
But what the good thing about that United team, they were all they could have done more, but they didn't have to. They had to just do your job, and they were very, very capable in doing that. That's why it's such a good team, because they're all verging on world class. Some of them were world class, but in their position, just doing their job as a team and all collectively. That's why they're so good.
Yeah, we got a fun one next week, mate. Top 10. Centre forwards in Premier League history, out and out centre forwards, number nines, Premier League history.
That's
that'll be a good one.
And last, Henri's a striker for me, isn't he? He's not a winger.
I do think he's a striker. To me, Henri is a striker.
So it'd be interesting where we put him next week then, because he'd have been
because he would have been in the wing.
If we classed him as a winger, but no, I classed him as a striker. So,
Lastly, mate, did you see Max Holloway? Did you see Max Holloway's fight on the weekend?
Yeah.
Insane, mate. Absolutely. Yeah. That knockout, mate. Like, the performance overall was incredible.
No, but it's the biggest wow moment since George Masvidal kneed Ben Askren in the heat after 4 seconds.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, mate,
that was a holy shit moment. But that was like, wow, 2 seconds. Let's have it.
And it was just face plant, Bosh. And Justin Gaethje is such a game fighter. Like, for him to go face down like that, is that in itself is shocking. And I think when you look back, McGregor knocking out Aldo in whatever amount of time it was,
13 seconds.
Masvidal knee and dickhead in the face, And then,
oh, I like Ben Askren, don't be like that.
He is a knob. But then, oh, he was a knob in the build up to the fight, should I say. But then also that on Saturday, Max Holloway. Max Holloway's got to be in with the in the conversation for the greatest of all time, I think. I just think he's in that conversation. I'm not saying he's the greatest, but I think he's in the conversation. Never shies away from a fight. And even in that instance where he wins the fight, he has won that fight. And with 10 seconds to go, he calls Gaethje to the middle and says, come on, let's just fucking bang for this last 10 seconds and knocks him out. What was it, with a second to go or 2 seconds to go?
2 seconds, yeah.
Incredible, mate. Absolutely incredible. And that's what you want in it from fights. Exciting fights. As always, mate, a pleasure. We'll be back next week. We'll have a nice little discount code for footballcentral.com. Please do check them out for your retro kits and tracksuits and more recent kits. They're going to be sponsoring the show going forwards. Really looking forward to partnering up with them. They'll be back with a code next week. Also, I've got Ace Podcast Nation got a big announcement next Wednesday, so look out for that as well as we announce our next live event. And without giving anything away, mate, it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Gonna be fun. Right, in a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.